one night in August, a whole bunch of years ago, a couple of friends and I stayed up all night laying in the middle of a dirt road in nowhere, Manitoba. We watched as hundreds of stars fell from the sky, and it was one of the most spectacular things that I have ever witnessed. It was truly awe-inspiring. It felt like we were right in the middle of it, like the stars were showering down on us, like we could be hit at any moment, like it was impossible that there could be any stars left in the sky. Now, the reality is, they weren't falling stars, they were meteors. They were bits of rock and dust that had dislodged from a passing comet and entered the Earth's atmosphere, leaving a trail of glowing hot air as they plunged toward the planet. Now, these meteor showers, like the one that I experienced, they happen pretty predictably, about 6 times a year, whenever the Earth's orbit around the sun collides with a comet's orbit around the sun. It's interesting. There are people who find it so interesting that they spend their lives studying these kinds of things. Our own Jen Lang is studying these kinds of things as we speak. But as interesting as the facts and as the knowledge are, they cannot compare to the experience of lying all night on a dirt road as hundreds of meteors streaked through the dark. Now, God created us to be a thinking people. He created us with intellect and curiosity. It is in our nature to want to understand, to find order in things. God's creation is all about order. People have been inspired for thousands of years as they observed and hypothesized and tested theories about the nature of things. The wise men who visited the baby Jesus came because they'd spent years studying the sky, watching the stars, tracking heavenly phenomena. In Paul's letter to the Romans at the beginning of chapter 12, he invites them and us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can discern the will of God. But we aren't just a thinking people. We're also a feeling people. We see, hear, touch, taste, and smell things. We experience the world that God made. We experience the God who made the world. Look at that short sermon that Peter preached in Acts 10 that I just read for you. He starts with the intellect. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. You know the message. You know the content. You know what was said, and you know it because it spread all through Judea, beginning with John baptizing people. But then listen to how Peter talks about that message. Because he's not just talking about a bunch of facts. He's pointing to things that actually happened, things that people experienced. He's talking about experience after experience after experience. First, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. People saw it happen. They witnessed his baptism. They experienced that power of Jesus for themselves. Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. They witnessed it. They saw it. They heard the sounds of people suffering and the sounds of people freed. They felt the press of the crowds as they followed Jesus. In verse 39, they put him to death by hanging on a tree. They saw it. They smelled it. They grieved it. God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. See, Peter isn't just preaching a whole bunch of scientific, interesting facts. He's telling them about all sorts of things that God did, things he and others experienced, things they felt and smelled and saw and touched and heard. And then even before he's done telling them all of these wonderful stories about experiences of Jesus, look at what happens. See, they don't just talk amongst each other. Oh, well, what he says makes sense. He's convinced me. I think I'll give this following Jesus thing a chance. That's not what happens. What happened, it's in verse 44, what happened while Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. And then when we jump to verse 46, we discover that they were speaking in tongues. They were extolling God. They were worshiping God. All of this happened. This experience came upon them as they listened to other people's experiences of God, experiences of Jesus, hearing all sorts of things that God did, And then experiencing the Holy Spirit for themselves, things happened. That's because God does things. God didn't just create the world, didn't just set it in motion and then move on. God keeps doing things. He keeps being actively involved in the world that he created, in the lives of the creatures that he made, in our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but this is why I have hope. Even when the world seems like it's falling apart, when things seem to be getting worse and worse, the fact that God is actively involved gives me hope. And I know he's actively involved because that's what the Bible says over and over and over again in stories and history and laws and poetry of its pages. But it doesn't just end there. See, God didn't stop being actively involved in the world when the Bible ended. He's still actively involved in the world. People are still experiencing his presence and his power. Over in the back corner of the room over there, we have shelves upon shelves of books written by people who've experienced God's presence. Check out any of the 92 books in our biography section. They're all stories of people's experiences of God. But we don't even have to go to the books. We have experience of God. Those of us in this room, many of us in this room have experienced God. Many of us have experienced God's activity in our own lives or in the lives of people we know. Maybe we've experienced healing. Maybe we've experienced some kind of release from captivity. Maybe we've experienced hope when everything tells us we should be without hope. Maybe we've experienced inexplicable peace in the midst of chaos. Our faith isn't just based on intellectual arguments or logic. Certainly that's part of it. And for some people, it's a bigger part than for others. But our faith is also based on experiencing God acting in the world. Even if we can't point to something in our own lives, the very center of our faith, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, is God acting in the world. One of the names that Jesus was known by right when he was first born is the name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is acting, is present in our world. In John, there's the story about a man who was blind since he was born, and Jesus healed him. And then when the religious leaders found out, they asked the man over and over how it had happened. Maybe they wanted to know exactly the steps that Jesus had taken. Maybe they were trying to catch Jesus in some kind of witchcraft or something. We know that they were looking for ways to discredit Jesus, to ruin him. So they kept asking the man how he'd been healed. They wanted a scientific explanation. They wanted something that made sense intellectually. But the man didn't have those kind of answers for them. All he knew was what he had experienced. He'd been blind, now he could see. And so then when he encountered Jesus again, Jesus asked him if he believed in the Son of Man, meaning himself, meaning the Messiah. And the man asked who he was talking about. The man didn't even know that much. And Jesus said, "I'm talking about myself." And immediately the man worshiped Jesus. Not because he'd been convinced of some argument, but because he had experienced the power of God and the Holy Spirit in Jesus and in his healing. Jesus didn't convince him with clever arguments, with history lessons. He healed him. And that experience is what led to his belief and to his worship. Samuel was one of the earliest, most celebrated of Israel's ancient prophets. It was Samuel who appointed Saul, Israel's first king, and he appointed David, which was Israel's second king. He went to live at the temple from the time that he was just a young child. And while he was still a child, he had an experience of God before he even knew God. We read about this experience at the beginning of our service today in 1 Samuel. And you might remember that God called out to him, but Samuel didn't know that it was God, and he assumed that it was Eli, the priest that he lived with. It was Eli who finally realized what was happening and so was able to help Samuel know what to do. I wonder if we actually expect God to act. I wonder if we expect that people will experience God. I wonder if we expect God to convict people of their sin and to lead them to repentance. I wonder if we expect God to reveal himself to people. I wonder if we expect God to speak to people. See, I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be able to answer everybody's questions about God. I think that sometimes we put a lot of pressure on ourselves and on each other to be able to convince people that God exists or that he cares or that he's involved. A couple weeks ago at one of our small groups, we found ourselves sharing our frustration at the task of evangelism. And as one person put it, it used to be that we learned what to say and how to say it. We were taught the 4 or 5 steps to get someone to become a Christian. There was a logic to it. And we were convinced that if we just did it correctly, there'd be success, which meant if there wasn't success, it was because we'd messed up somewhere along the way. We tend to have that same attitude often about prayer and about how we pray for people. If we could just get the right words in the right order, if we could just do it right, things would happen. And the thing that's attractive about evangelizing that way or about praying that way is that it keeps us in control. If God doesn't show up, it's okay. We're okay. It's nice when he shows up, but our arguments and our proofs aren't dependent on him because it's really on us to get it right. Now, I'm not suggesting that those methods, following these steps or saying it in the right way, I'm not suggesting that those methods never work. I'm not suggesting that some people aren't logicked into Christianity. That's the beauty of God. He can use anything. But when I think about Samuel's story, he was trained in the ways of his religion. Even as a boy, he knew things, but he didn't know God. It wasn't until God spoke to him that he truly started to become the prophet that he was going to be. And having experienced God, Eli, his priest and his mentor, was able to teach him things like how to respond when you've heard from God. What would it be like if we expected people to experience God? What would it be like if we expected to experience God ourselves? What would it be like if we saw our role as that of A, not getting in the way of other people's experiences of God, B, creating the kinds of safe spaces in which people are free to experience God, and C, helping people understand these experiences and respond to them? What would it be like if we saw our role as not getting in the way of creating spaces where people can experience God, and then of helping people understand those experiences and know how to respond? What if we saw our task as that of noticing God's activity in the world, in people's lives, and then making ourselves available to be part of it, whatever the it is? What would our church be like if it were founded on the assumption that God is actively involved in the world, and that our job is simply to notice it, to name it, and then to help people figure out what to do with the experience? Have you ever experienced God, experienced the living God? Have you ever told your story of that experience of God? I want to encourage you to take some time this week. If you have an experience of God, take some time and put it on paper, or put your phone up and record yourself telling the story, or tell it to someone else and ask them to put it on paper. Find a way to tell your story of having experienced the living, true God. If you haven't ever experienced God, if you feel like you're Samuel, you've grown up in the church, in the temple, you know things, but you don't know God, then as you go into this week, spend some time praying, asking God to show you, to release from you any of the things that stand in the way of that, that we can experience our God who is living and active in the world around us. Figure out how to share your experience of God with other people. Figure out how to tell your stories. Because just like the blind man's experience of Jesus' healing led him to worship Jesus as the Son of God, so do our stories bolster our own faith and the faith of other people.